Vav Amud Aleph. On the third wide line, we're concluding, we're finishing off, we're tying up the discussion that we had, which we saw that when 10 people gather for tefillah, the Shechina is with them. When 3 people gather for din, 3 dayanim gather for din. Oh, Bukhim Aboim. Welcome. So, when 3 people gather for din, 3 dayanim, the Shechina is with them. And Avolam with Aleph, third wide line. When 2 people get together to learn Torah, the Shechina joins them. And when 1 person sits down by himself to learn Torah, the Shechina joins him. So, last time we discussed why there's a need to state, if we know that 1 person is joined by the Shechina, why do we need to state that 2 people are joined by the Shechina? That we discussed last time, that there's a higher level when it's 2 people. And now we move on to the next question.
Just about on this thing with 10 people, use the word Ada. Hashem says, the first one despises you, how long will this evil assembly, whatever. Use the word Ada. In English, assembly can also be used, you can use the word group. So is there no place else in the scripture where the word Ada is used where it doesn't mean 10?
The word Ada is used. Stan is asking, we learned from the word Ada. Ada denotes 10 people. The word Ada is used, the lowest amount that it's ever used for is 10. But we also find the term Ada being used for the entire Jewish people. And it's from there that we derive that actually 10 people already, in a sense, represent the entire Jewish people in a way. Meaning that's a unit, yeah. That's the minimum, but that's already a unit of complete unit of Klal Yisrael. Okay. So now we begin. The third wide line. In the middle of the line, V'chimeacha. V'chimeacha da'afilu trei. After we learned that even 2 people learning together are joined by the Shechina, t'lasa mibaye, isn't it obvious that 3 people sitting down together will be joined by the Shechina? Why did that have to be stated? And the Gemara answers, Ma'u detema. Let's note, we did not say that if 3 people sit down to learn together, they're joined by the Shechina. We said if 3 people sit down, 3 dayanim sit down to judge a case together, they're joined by the Shechina. That's not exactly a learning session, necessarily. So you might think, din is shlama ba'almuhu. Din, sitting down to judge a case, okay, it's a way of enforcing peace. V'layas yishchina. But that's not Torah learning that warrants the Shechina. Chamash malon. Therefore, the Braisa stresses, the dine nami hainu Torah. That no, dayanim judging a case is also considered Torah learning. It involves halachic deliberation. Therefore, that's also Torah learning. Now the truth is, you might wonder, why would we think otherwise? Isn't that what a din Torah is? Deliberating halachic questions? Why would we think otherwise? But the truth is that if you ask any practicing dayan, he'll tell you that it is a chiddush that a din Torah is considered Torah learning. Sometimes it can get so involved with just the technicalities or the messiness of whatever it is that's in front of them that you can kind of wonder what it has to do with Torah. But we're saying that no matter what, no matter where it goes, no matter what's involved, dayanim, implementing justice, is always considered Torah. Because that's really what they're doing. They are implementing the Torah's law in this world. Okay. Now the Gemara asks, V'chimeacha da'afilu t'losa. I have. V'chimeacha da'afilu t'losa. If we say that even 3 people are joined by the Shechina, asara mibayeh, isn't it obvious that 10 people would be joined by the Shechina? And the Gemara answers, you're right. 10 people getting together for tefillah, it's obvious that the Shechina will join them. But when we're stressing that there's an even a higher level for 10 people. Asara kodma Shechina va'asya. When 10 people get together, the Shechina arrives even before them. Tlosa Adiyasi. When three people get together for din, or two people, or one person sit down to learn Torah, once he sits down and starts, the Shekhinah will join him. But once it's a gathering of 10 people, the Shekhinah is already there waiting for them. Now, what does that mean? How do you know beforehand that there are going to be 10? Well, the Shekhinah knows. But the truth is that the Mepharshim say more than that. The Mepharshim say that this is actually kind of the idea that we saw before. When 10 people congregate together and establish a shul, a place, as a place for tefillah, so it's not just that the Shekhinah is there when they're davening. Once there's a place designated for 10 people or more to congregate, to serve Hashem, the Shekhinah turns that into a regular place. The Shekhinah is there all the time. It doesn't wait for them to show up. And therefore, as we learned before, even if you have your own personal tefillah, or let's say you missed tefillah, you missed the minyan in shul, it's good to come to shul and daven, because the Shekhinah is there even when there's no minyan. Or it's just you have your own issues to discuss with Hashem. It's a good thing to do also. You come to shul, you do it there, you know that the Shekhinah is there. Okay. That was... I'm sorry?
What's the point that when the Gemara talks about being in front of the Shekhinah as opposed to being in front of Hashem, being in front of the Shekhinah, like what inyan...
But Yaakov is asking, what does the Shekhinah mean as opposed to just being in Hashem's presence? So I assume that what you're asking in other words is, isn't Hashem everywhere? Meaning, the Shekhinah really, what the Shekhinah really means is Hashem's presence in this world. That's really what the Shekhinah means.
Why is it splitting up and calling him the name Shekhinah in certain aspects? What is coming to denote for us?
The Shekhinah...
And it's feminine also. It's
good. You're picking up on some deep points. Rabbi Yaakov is asking, first of all, if the Shekhinah is just Hashem, why don't we just say Hashem? Also, is there significance to the fact that Shekhinah is in the feminine, which is a very strange usage as far as Hashem goes? Okay, so you're forcing me, you're getting me into a little bit of a deeper concept than I was planning on discussing here. Really, the Shekhinah represents Hashem's revelation in this world. That's what the Shekhinah represents. Kiveyachol, the lowest level of Hashem's revelation. Meaning Hashem reveals himself in the upper world in a much more spiritual way than the Shekhinah in this world. It's a deep discussion, which is certainly beyond our scope right now, but I'll say that it's even to the extent that sometimes the Shekhinah can be perceived in a certain form. Right? In the Midbar, they saw, I won't say that they saw the Shekhinah, but they saw the presence of the Shekhinah manifested in the cloud of glory. Right? They used to see the cloud coming down. They used to see the fire. The Shekhinah is the closest level of Hashem's revelation that we can relate to. It's scary to use that term, but I guess. Or put it this way, the lowest spiritual level. I prefer to word it that way. And that's why, for example, the Hasidim among us, who you say L'Shem Yichud, say, what is the standard L'Shem Yichud, you say before doing any mitzvah, Chassidim, Sfadim, or anybody else who has the minig, L'Shem Yichud Kud Shabrichu U'Shchinte. We are saying this for the purpose of uniting the Shekhinah with its original source, Kiveyachol. Which means that, and that Hashem reveals himself to varying levels. There are many, many higher worlds, right? And as you descend, he reveals himself in different levels, and the highest levels are in the higher worlds. And our purpose is to enhance. Hashem Kiviyachol puts it into our hands to enhance the state of the Shekhinah in this world. That's the whole concept of Shekhinta Begalusa. The Shekhinah is in Galus. Is there such a thing as Hashem being in Galus? There's no such thing. The Shekhinah is in Galus. The lowest level of Hashem's revelation in this world, Kiviyachol, is in Galus. What we're trying to do is better its state, bring its state back, so that it reconnects and is better connected with its original source, so to speak. Okay. Now, so in a way, the Shekhinah, relative to where it's coming from, kiviyachol, is a what we'll call a bechina, an element of more feminine nature, so to speak. Yeah. Okay. Now again, these are words which we understand that we don't really understand. Okay. Now we move on to a new sugya, which is at first has a strange sound to it, but as we'll see, this is mamish a most beautiful sugya, a real fundamental. Omar Rabbi Yovin bar Avada, Omar Rabbi Yitzchok. Minayin shaKadosh Baruch Hu miniach tefillin. How do we know that Hashem wears tefillin? Shenema, as it says in the pasuk, Nishba Hashem b'yiminoi, Hashem swore by his right hand, ubizroya uzoi, and by the arm of his strength. What does this mean? Hashem is swearing by both of his arms, so to speak. B'yiminoi, when it talks about Hashem's right arm, so to speak, zu Torah, that's referring to the Torah. The Torah is represented by Hashem's right hand. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, Miminoi Eish Das Lamoi. Hashem granted the Torah to Klal Yisrael. That's expressed by saying, from his right hand he gave forth this doctrine. Ubizroya Uzoi Eilut Tefillin. And when we talk about the arm of his strength, that is referring to Tefillin, which is worn on the arm, Kiviyachol. Shenema, as it says in the pasuk, how do we know that Tefillin is referred to as strength? Hashem oiz la'am oyiten. Hashem will grant his nation strength. And that's referring to tefillin. Hashem will grant his nation tefillin. How do we know that? Om yinayin sha tefillin oiz hem li'Yisrael. How do we know that the tefillin are a sign of strength for the Jewish people? Diksib. Because it says in the pasuk, v'ra'u kol amei ha'oretz kishem Hashem nikra alecha. All the nations of the world will see that the name of Hashem is upon you. V'yaru mimecha, and they will fear you. V'tanya, and it says in the Braisa, so what's this referring to? Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol Omer, Eilu Tefillin Shebarosh. That's referring to the Tefillin Shel Rosh, meaning that really, the Tefillin Shel Rosh that we wear have the property of instilling fear in anybody who observes us. Just, you have to be on the right level in order for this to work, because what's the idea? The tefillin is the cherry on the top of the fact that we represent Hashem's name. So first of all, you have to represent Hashem's name in your whole personality, and then the tefillin constitutes the cherry on the top, so to speak. Okay. So, we've established this concept, whatever it means, we'll see. Hashem wears tefillin. Now, the Mefarshim already start discussing what on earth is this supposed to mean. So there's a famous piece of Rav Hai Goin in which he explains that many of these things are not to be taken as Hashem's meaning. For example, it says when Hashem showed Moshe, he said, "You'll see my back." He showed Moshe the knot of the tefillin as it appears in the back of the head. So Rav Hai Goin says it doesn't mean that Hashem was wearing tefillin and Moshe saw the back of Hashem's head. No, it means that Hashem showed him what the back of tefillin looks like, but not that he was wearing it. But the Rashba and many others say that this approach is going to have a hard time dealing with our Gemara, because look at the continuation of our Gemara. First of all, the Gemara says Hashem wears tefillin. And now look, it takes it much further. The Gemara says, Omar le Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok le Rav Chiya bar Ovin. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok said to Rav Chiya bar Ovin, Hani tefillin demori alme maksimbu. Hashem wears tefillin. Tefillin have parshiyos inside them. We know what our parshiyos say. Shema, Vayim Shemaya. The concept of our tefillin is that we always wear close to our heart and our head the fundamentals of our faith. Hashem's oneness, the concept of reward and punishment, that Hashem watches us, Hashem's love for us, those are what those parshiyos are expressing. And the idea is that we want to show that this is what we hold most valuable to us. We'll see soon. There's more to it. But what will Hashem's tefillin contain? Amalei, so he said, you know which pasuk is written in Hashem's tefillin? Listen to this. Umikam cho Yisrael goyechot ba'aretz. Who is like your nation, Klal Yisrael? A unique, a lone nation in the land. It's an amazing thing that's being expressed here. What we do for Hashem, Hashem does for us. We wear tefillin in order to show Hashem's greatness and to show how central that is in our minds and hearts. And Hashem does the same thing. He wears tefillin to show Klal Yisrael's greatness. And even more than that, our tefillin, what is tefillin? Tefillin is called taitafos. What's a taitafos? A taitafos is an adornment, meaning we adorn ourselves with the fact that Hashem is close to us. Right? For us, that's a badge of honor. And Hashem chose us as His people. That's a badge of honor. We wear the tefillin as a badge of honor. If we're saying the same thing towards Hashem, you know what we're saying? We're saying Hashem wears, uses as a badge of honor His relationship with us. Then it's not just that we glorify in our relationship with Hashem. Hashem glorifies, Hashem shows off the fact that He has a relationship with us. Hashem is showing off that bond. Now that sounds a little bit sacrilegious to say, doesn't it? Presumptuous. So the Gemara says, "Omi mishtabach kudshabricho b'shvachayu di Yisrael." Hashem glorifies in the Jewish nation's praises, meaning that that brings Him honor. He's so much greater than that, right? He has all the billions of malachim at His disposal. That's what He has to show off to them. Look, this is Hashem's crown. That's His Omalei. So He told him, in. Yes. It sounds strange, but it is so. Diksiv, it's an explicit pasuk. Es Hashem he'emarto hayom. You have distinguished Hashem. I'm going to read the full wording of the pasuk. It doesn't appear in the Gemara. The Gemara abbreviates it. But the wording of the pasuk is, Es Hashem he'emarto hayom. You have distinguished Hashem today, meaning you put Him on a pedestal. That's really what this denotes. Li'ayis l'chol ha'elikim. You have distinguished Him to be a God for you and to follow all His ways. I'm just directly translating it. And to keep all His mitzvahs and to listen to what He says. V'Hashem he'mirchayon. So Pasuk says, you distinguished Hashem. You put Him on a pedestal that He's going to be your supreme God. And He distinguished you today in the same way. He put you on a pedestal. Li'ayis lo'i la'am segula. I'm continuing the learning the Pasuk. That you will be for Him a most treasured nation. Kasher dibelach. Just like He spoke to you. Belishma kol mitzvaysav. And He is enjoining you, meaning engaging you, to keep His mitzvahs. That's putting us on a pedestal. Hashem has His Torah. And a very fundamental purpose of the creation is, what is Torah, by the way? Let's just note. What do we mean when we say Hashem put us on a pedestal by charging us with His mitzvahs? What is Torah? Torah really represents much, much, much deeper concepts. Torah is really, so to speak, Hashem's psyche, if we'll call it that. Hashem's mentality. It's not that, which means that the Torah is not circumstantial. Somebody else owns something, it's wrong for you to take it, and therefore there's a mitzvah of loy signo, don't steal. It's the other way around. There is some very, very deep, sublime concept of not stealing, which is much deeper than we can ever fathom. Much deeper than we can ever fathom. Hashem wanted that to manifest physically. So therefore, what did He do? He created a world. He created the possibility of someone having something that you don't have. And now, that sublime concept of loy signoy can manifest. That's what the Torah is. The Torah is a very, very, very deep set. If you know the Torah with its full depth, you have mastered Hashem's mind. Just that, Hashem's mind is too deep to even begin scraping the iceberg. And that's why the Torah is infinitely deep. But every physical mitzvah of the Torah, shatnez, kashrus, or the simplest things, not killing, not stealing, we understand the most superficial level of it. It's almost like a mashal, right? Hashem wants us to be able to relate to these deep concepts. So He created a neighbor who has something that you want, and now He told you don't steal, and now you're beginning to understand that there's a very deep concept called Lo Signum. That's really what the Torah is. So this is mamish kiviyachol Hashem's mind. That's what the Torah is. By us learning Lo Signum, Hashem is giving us a three-year-old mashal of a very, very deep concept. Right? Or, the Torah says, if your ox grows somebody else's ox, the first time you only have to pay half damage. These are also much deeper concepts. In order for us to be able to relate to it, in order for us to be able to make them real, to make them materialize, Hashem created oxen and gave them sharp horns, and now they can kill the neighbor's ox. So really what it's all about is, we are causing Hashem's whole sense of right and wrong, His whole value system, His whole immensely deep mentality to materialize. Now that is really what Hashem wanted in the creation of this world. That this very immensely deep value system called the Torah should materialize, should actually play out physically. And therefore, who's chosen to do that? We understand that the people who are chosen to do that, it's an unbelievable privilege to realize what we're doing when we're doing any mitzvah. You have to realize what you're doing when you don't pickpocket the guy sitting next to you. You have to realize what you're doing. So therefore, yes, the way the pasuk is putting it is, Hashem put you on a pedestal. But that's really just the last element of the pasuk. But in general, what we're saying is, Hashem is putting you on a pedestal. He's distinguishing you as a treasured nation of His.
Perspective, like you're not getting anywhere close.
From a moral perspective, Rabbi Yaakov is saying the Torah enables us to, so to speak, plumb Hashem's mind in the moral way, but not in the scientific way. We get nowhere close. And the answer to that is that in the moral way, also you're not getting anywhere close. The infinity of the depth of what the Torah really is. For example, I'll just give one simple example. Here's something that the Rambam says. The psukim in the Torah. There's a pasuk in the Torah that says, I forgot who it was, one of the first kings of Edom, right? His wife's name was Mehitav El Bas Matred. Remember those psukim back in Parshas Vayishlach where it talks about all the different goyim and who married who? You know, you look at it superficially and you say, this is not the meat and potatoes of the Torah. This is like, you know, the side stuff. Who's going to really memorize? They bother to memorize. Yeah. Some grandson of Esav's wife's name was Meitav El Bas Matred. Very important for us to know that. She wasn't the daughter of so-and-so. She was Matred's daughter. Who's Matred? We don't know. Torah doesn't tell us. But she was Meitav El, the daughter of Matred. Is that like the most fundamental lesson you'll ever learn in your life? How does that compare with a pasuk like Anochi Hashem Elokecha? So the Rambam says that part of the ikar of emunah, of accepting Torah min haShamayim, means realizing that these psukim carry the same immensity as what we would consider the most fundamental psukim of the Torah. And it's fascinating. This I heard Reb Tudros Miller from Gateshead point out. It's fascinating that the Rambam, who common knowledge is that he was not involved with Kabbalah, okay, that was the example of the pasuk that he gave, right, just in order to bring across this concept. The Zohar, which was discovered sometime after the Rambam, says that there is no word in the Torah that doesn't contain immense secrets. For example, the Zohar says, the pasuk, the Shem Ishtoi Mehitav El Bas Matred, the name of his wife was Mehitav El Bas Matred, Rabbi Yechanan ben Zakkai inferred from gleaned from that pasuk 300 fundamental principles from those words. That's the pasuk that the Rambam took as an example. I don't know. It raises question marks as to whether the Rambam was really oblivious to Kabbalah or not. I don't know. But whatever it is, so when we say that you can grasp Torah on the moral level, sure, you can grasp that it's wrong to steal. You're still not beginning to grasp what the depth behind that is. The halachas that make the most sense in the world, you're not beginning to really grasp their depth. Yeah, just 1 second. You're not really beginning to grasp their depth. It's just as far, right? When it comes to astronomy and science, etc., when you see how, as much as you know, you're still so far away from beginning to grasp it, it's the same thing with all the knowledge of Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu's level of knowledge of Torah is infinite. So if you're a million miles ahead of somebody else, are you closer to infinity?
So in that sense, I mean, a scientist can only go, you're not getting it closer than he is, or he's not getting it further than you are, because he's coming to understand Hashem's mind through, you know, understanding the principles of Hashem that, you know, creates the natural world.
Rabbi Yaakov is saying that a scientist is studying a different element of Hashem's Torah, a different type of Torah. You're right in a way. The truth is, the scientists should have been the greatest ma'aminim. They should have been. It's true. They are studying the way Hashem revealed Himself in one way. But the Torah connects us to a deeper level of understanding Hashem. But it's true, absolutely. The world around us is a means of discovering Hashem in a very deep level. You were going to say something?
Yeah, it's moral. Everything seems to be on a moral dimension. If it is the blueprint for the world, you would expect to see all kinds of scientific things popping up.
Well, first of all, it's a moral dimension because Hashem set the world up in a way that those morals come into play. Meaning, the moral that we understand behind not stealing is true. Just that there's so much more to it than we can grasp. We're beginning to understand that moral concept. Let me give you an example. I'll show you, for example, how even this moral concept can be understood at different levels. You tell a 4-year-old kid it's wrong to steal. They can understand that, right? They can relate to that. But you as an adult who knows what it means to work hard and to earn money, and to earn a big amount of money, and then to have it taken from under your nose, you appreciate that moral on a much deeper level. Now take that further and further and further and further. There are levels of this moral that are just so much deeper that simply go way beyond anything physical. That's the idea here. It's a long discussion. But that's in a basic way. Now, whatever it is, we get back to our pasuk. So yes, the Gemara says, yes, Hashem relates to us, so to speak, on a certain level, in the same way we relate to Him. We put Him up on His pedestal, we distinguish Him, as we glorify in the fact that, look who is interested in us. Right? That's what we're showing off. We wear our tefillin as an adornment on our head. Look who's interested in us. And Hashem is wearing His tefillin as an adornment on His head. Look who I have. That's us. So you have to think about that on a daily level. What's that? Oh, that's right. And I'm actually going to get to that. That's right. So, it's something to think about. You have to relate to yourself in this way, because it's each Jew on an individual level. It's not just Judaism as a whole. Yeah, we had some great people throughout our history. Hashem wears you on His head, shows off what He has. Make it worthwhile. Okay. Now, Omar Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. So the Gemara expounds this pasuk. Hashem says to Yisrael, Atem asisuni chativa achas boilam. You, through your declaration of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, through your wearing Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, through your living Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, you are turning me into a one unit. Right? We're expressing Hashem's oneness. We're turning Hashem into the one greatest thing in the world. I'm going to turn you into the one greatest unit in the world. It's all, the entire existence is only us and Hashem. Us reveling in our relationship with Him, and Him reveling, so to speak, in His relationship with us. Everything else is trappings. So Rabbi Avigdor Miller used to say, you walk down a busy street, okay, here in Eretz Yisrael, you walk down a busy street, you're among Jews, Baruch Hashem. He spoke about King's Highway. You walk down King's Highway, there are throngs of people milling past and forth, back and forth. Said there's only two entities in this. You are walking with Hashem and it's all there is here. There's nothing else. Atem asisuni chativa achas bo'elam. You made me into one unit in the world. Shenema, as it says in the Pasuk, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Right? And I am going to make you into one single unit in the world. Shenema, as it says in the Pasuk, that's the Pasuk we began with, as the Pasuk that Hashem wears in His tefillin. Umika amcha Yisrael goyechad ba'aretz. Who is like your nation? One nation in the what is only the only one nation on earth. Okay? So now we know what Hashem wears in His tefillin. So Omar Le, Rav Acha Brei de Rav Rav Ashi. So Rav Acha Brei de Rav said to Rav Ashi, Tenach Bechad Beisa, that accounts for one compartment. But there are four compartments in the tefillin, right? We have four parashiyos in our tefillin. So we've just accounted for one of Hashem's compartments. Bishar Batemai, what's with the other compartments? Omar Loi, so he told him Hashem wears the following psukim. Listen to the psukim that Hashem walks around with. Meaning, Kiviyachol, you see a person who has on his keychain his grandchildren's picture, right? Or his wife, or his kids, and then on his cell phone, on the screen, right? And in his car, hanging from the mirror. This is how Hashem keeps us. But in even a bigger way, He wears it on His head. This is His crown. This is what He has to show off. I just want to note, parenthetically, the parsha of Ahavta, V'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha. Right, the beginning pasuk, beautiful, beautiful concept, right? You should love Hashem, right? Then often people feel like it continues technically, right? Afterwards it starts with, you have to tie it to your doorposts and wrap it on your arm. It already gets technical towards the end of the parsha. The beginning is beautiful, the end is technical. You have to understand the beauty of, it's actually what we're seeing here. What's really the beauty of the continuation of that parsha? It's mamish this idea. I'll draw as an example. You have chassidim who are obsessed with their Rebbe. And you walk into their home, and wherever you look, every wall, it's got another picture of their Rebbe. And the car, right? Here's a big picture on this wall, and then there's a small frame on the dresser. That, wherever you look. Why? Because this is what they want to be busy with all the time. That's what Hashem is saying. The relationship that I want to have with you is that wherever you turn, right, you have it on your arm, on your head, on your door, right? Wherever you look. And Hashem is doing the same thing. That's the end. That's really what's chat in the end of Ahavta es Hashem Elokecha. You have to realize Hashem is expressing the level of relationship He wants to have with us, with each of us on an individual basis. Obsession. What? Kiviyachol. That's right. That's right. It is obsession. Ki cholas ava ani. I'm sick with love. That's how Hashem feels about each of us. So what psukim does He have? What parshiyos does He have? So the next pasuk that He has is Ki mi goy gadol. Where else is there such a great nation? The pasuk continues. I'm reading the continuation of the psukim. Asher lo elokim krovim elav kashem elokeinu b'chol kareinu elav. Where else do you have such a great nation who has a God so close to him whenever they call out? Then the next parsha that Hashem has, Umi goy gadol, Asher lo chukim u'mishpatim tzadikim k'chol ha'Torah hazos. And where else do you have such a great nation who has such righteous mitzvahs? What else does Hashem have in His tefillin? Ashrecha Yisrael. Fortunate are you, Yisrael. Micha moicha. And again, I'm continuing. Who is like you? Am noisha b'Hashem logein ezrecho b'asher cherev ga'avosecho. A nation whose salvation is Hashem. He serves as your shield. You're supposed to serve a God. You don't have a God going ahead of you and acting as your shield. But our level of relationship with Hashem is that way. Hashem was busy going ahead of us in the Midbar, He does it today too. And the Midbar is going ahead of us, making sure that moving anything out of the way for us to pass comfortably, right? He's our sword. Is again, our relationship with Hashem is not one of a master and servant. When you have a master and servant, the master is never there clearing a way for the servant and protecting him and making sure he's okay and comfortable. Our relationship with Hashem is family. We're the kids. The Malachim are the servants. But we're the kids. Oyan Yisraeli Kim. What's the next parasha? Oyan Yisraeli Kim. Another pasuk describing the greatness of Klal Yisrael. Has there ever been such a phenomenon? Has history ever seen a God come along and make a campaign to wrench out? I'm reading a continuation of the pasuk. L'voy lo kachas le'goyim mikerev goy. Did we ever see such a phenomenon of a God coming along and wrenching a nation out from another nation? B'masayis ba'isus u'v'maisim u'v'milchama. With such great wonders and wars. U'v'yod chazok u'mizra'a netuya. And with such a strong hand. K'chol asher oso lachem Hashem alekechem b'mitzrayim le'inecho. Like Hashem did for you in Mitzrayim. What was going on in Mitzrayim? It was an infuriated father whose kid was being bullied, and he came and tore apart the bullies. What's the next pasuk in Parshas Hashem's tefillin? Hashem is going to be setting you up on high. I'm continuing. I'll call a goyim asher osa, way above all the other nations that he created. The tihila ulishem ulisiferes, to glorify you. To be a nation sanctified and designated for Hashem. This is what Hashem has in his tefillin. So the Gemara says, if Hashem has all that in his tefillin, it's a little too much. We just recited about 6 psukim, but tefillin has 4 compartments. So the Gemara answers, you're right, we have to combine a few together. Elokim Igoy Gadol, Igoy Gadol. The first 2 psukim that we cited. Is there any other such great nation? And then another pasuk that says, is there any other such great nation? The Damian La'adadi, those are the same theme. Bechad Beisa. Those are in one compartment, those 2. Ashrecha Yisrael, when it says, fortunate are you Yisrael. Umi Kamcha Yisrael. And the pasuk that says, who is like your nation Yisrael? Bechad Beisim. That those 2 are also together in one compartment. Oyan Yisrael Kim Bechad Beisim. The pasuk said, did we ever see such an endeavor of a God coming and making a campaign, waging war? That's in another compartment. Ulisitcha Elyein. And the last pasuk, Hashem is sending you up on high. Bechad Beisim is in another compartment. So that's 4. Did they see his film, or are they hypothetically imagining it? No. This is not hypothetical, but they didn't see it either. This is Kabbalah. Halacha L'Moshe Mi'Sinai. That's what the Pnei Yeshua cites. I forgot who is saying that. This is Halacha L'Moshe Mi'Sinai. It has a long discussion on it. But these were things that they knew by Kabbalah. No. No, Halacha L'Moshe Mi'Sinai as in just things that were given over at Sinai. To note that there's obviously a lot of prophetic inyanim involved here. For example, the pasuk Mi Kamcha Yisrael, who is like your nation Yisrael, is from Divrei Hayamim. It's stated much later in history, but yet Hashem already had it in his tefillin from beforehand. So those are the 4. That's what fills the 4 compartments of Hashem's tefillin. The Kuluk Sivi Be'edrei, and that's the Shalrosh. The Shalrosh is divided into 4 compartments. The Shalyad is one compartment. So just like by us, what do we have in the Shalyad? It's all 4 of the Shalresh together in the Shalyad. So that's how it is by Hashem. Also, he has all of this together in his Shalyad, so to speak. Okay, this is certainly an unusual Gemara. And it's a very, very fundamental Gemara. I think it's worthwhile, instead of just quoting what some of the Mepharshim say here, to actually read it out, just to see how they, so to speak, are go wild from this Gemara. So here's the Rashba. I find this especially noteworthy because the style of the Rishonim, we're talking about the Rajbo, is one of the Rishonim. The style of the Rishonim is generally cold and philosophical. You don't usually find the Rishonim getting passionate and excited, right? So listen to the Rashba. Yesh ba'agada zu soid niskav. This Agadita contains very, very high secrets. This whole thing about Hashem's tefillin. Gam anigra ne'ehav chamud kezav. But also the revealed element of this Gemara is beloved and as precious as gold. So now, I'm not going to read through the whole Lashon, it's a long exposition that he has here. What he says is, in order to really understand what the significance of the Gemara is, of what Hashem's tefillin are, first you have to understand what is the significance of our tefillin. What are our tefillin about? So he says as follows. We have one compartment on our arm, which is right by our heart, and the four compartments on our head, right? Which is denoting that we are showing that these concepts that are in the tefillin, what's contained in the tefillin, the four parshiyos of our tefillin are really showing four things. The oneness of Hashem, the fact that Hashem created the world, if you check the parshiyos, this is what corresponds to. The fact that He controls the world, and His intense love and bond with us. Those are the four parshiyos of the tefillin. So, the heart is where everything starts. When you think about something, when you plan something, what are you planning? You're planning something that you wanted to do. Any endeavor begins in the heart. If let's say you have a business that you put a lot of thought into, it starts with one general desire, to make money. Then you went and broke that into departments, right? You made plans, you devised all kinds of details, but it really starts with one basic desire in the heart. In the heart, right, your initial as a goal to make money isn't broken into details. In your heart, you have one vision. You want to make money. You send that message to your brain. You tell the brain, get to work. The brain breaks it down to details, starts taking it apart. How do we do this? Let's set it up. Departmentalizes, etc. So, we show that first of all, our one focus, what fills our heart, what's our whole agenda in life, is Hashem. Just our closeness with Hashem. That's what it's all about. Then we go up to the mind and we say, okay, now break it down to its details. Mitzvahs, life, right? Mind starts breaking it down. The four compartments. That's what's represented in the four compartments. This is how the Rashba puts it down. Start breaking it down. Life is detailed, multifaceted. Torah is detailed, multifaceted. But really, it's all just the details of that one agenda. Your whole life should be revolving around that. It's all just in the framework of your bond, passionate relationship with Hashem. That's our tefillin. And he says this is also, let's not lose the fact that the tefillin is called a taitefes. It's not just representing the brain, but it's the adornment. We glorify in that, right? We glorify in that. We show off that this is what our life is about. He's interested in us. Look who we are. And now the Rashba says, this is exactly the same idea with Hashem. So here he gives his exposition explaining on how it works with our tefillin. And now he says, now that we've established in our tefillin that Hashem is one, and He is the one supreme controller of it all, now note that He also has one focus. He's focused only on us, exclusively. Like the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim says, my beloved is focused on me, and I am focused on him. You have to note that. You have to know what that means. Again, this is not an abstract idea about Klal Yisrael in general. This is about each individual of Klal Yisrael. You have to realize when you're walking through the street, you think you're not in touch with anybody. Your cell phone is off for an interim of about a minute and a half. Appreciate what's going on right now. Hashem is focused on you intensely and with love, with care, in a way that you can't begin to imagine. Chodesh Av says that all the love we ever experienced from our parents, etc., is a little trickle of His love coming through. He's focused on you like that all the time. That's what's in His tefillin. And the Hayd, now, by Hashem, so to speak, wearing these tefillin, Hashem is testifying, we were the purpose and the agenda in the creation of the world. Hashem created a world with billions of stars. Why? It's like the guy with his business. He wants to make money. There's really just one goal here. He doesn't have a goal to have this department and that department and this department. Those are all the details of the ambition. Hashem created the entire universe with one sight, with one vision. His nation. And he put that nation up high in a most glorious way. And now I'm skipping a few lines. And Hashem, by wearing his tefillin, is saying, you know what I consider the greatest, the thing I can be most proud of, you know what I glorify in, you know what I show off? I show off, look what a great world I am, when the Jewish people are performing in it. And when we cling to him. It's actually an open pasuk, Yisrael, in whom I glorify. And now he says yes, and Hashem is testifying that the whole purpose of the world is for us. And that not only that, but also that all the details going on, just like by us we say, all the different details of our life, everything it breaks down into, is really just revolving around that one point, all for the purpose of that one point, serving Hashem. We should realize that everything going on in the world and in the galaxies, up in the highest worlds, is really all just, Hashem is all doing that. It's not that we're Hashem's children, and he has other things that he has to tend to, right? He controls the whole universe. And we're his children. We're a very important part of the universe. But he's a very busy personality. Not person. Right? He's a very busy entity. There's a lot to do there. He also controls the Indians and the Chinese. No. All that is really all just departments in what he's doing for us. How? Too deep to follow. Much too deep. But you have to realize that all the billions of details in this world, when a leaf falls off a tree somewhere in Asia, somehow that's all part of the plan revolving around us. This is what's being stated in this Gemara, the tefillin. Hashem has a one-tracked mind, a one-tracked focus, so to speak. All the billions of details is just around that, and that's what he wears on his head as his adornment. Well, just, and also, with seeing how the Rashba Mamish gets excited about it, and listen to the way the Maharal just puts that. Also, I'm not going to present his whole discussion, but the way he begins his discussion also along similar lines of the Rashba, but he says the obvious question in this Gemara is, why does Hashem need tefillin? And he says, now the truth is that this Gemara contains extremely deep and awesome things. But, still, I am going to elaborate on it in order to make it clear. People should appreciate exactly who the Goyim are starting up with when they abuse us. And therefore, I'm going to discuss this Gemara. He has a long exposition. He goes in a little, very similar to the Rashba, from his own angle. Like Maharal always has his own angle. But he says, I'm going to discuss this Gemara, in which I will be revealing a finger's breadth and concealing an immense measure. That's the term of the Gemara. I'm going to reveal an inch and cover 1,000 feet. And that, realize that the main point of this whole discussion is really to highlight, to really appreciate quite the difference between us and all the other nations of the world. Okay. What's that? This comes from the Er HaGoyla 4. Okay, that'll be that for tonight.